The feeling of being able to see again, to walk again, the feeling of not being in pain anymore, the feeling of your life being saved by one person. Those are doctors. When I think of doctors, I think of life-saving heroes. Some doctors not only save lives, but make them better. Surgeons, optometrists, neurologists, psychiatrists, foods, and environmental allergists, they all have one thing in common. And not that most of them end in ists, but they all make your life better one way or another. You're probably thinking, so what does this have to do with food allergies then? Well, allergists save and make lives better every single day. Luckily, we have a special allergist guest today to let us in on all the juicy secrets, information, and tips on less panic and more peace from a doctor, so you know it's legit. Hi, my name is Rhea Maglani, and you're listening to Less Panic and More Peace. Our special guest today goes by the name Dr. Kanuga. He saved my sister's life multiple times on a simple phone call during an allergic reaction. We were in Italy, and we called Dr. Kanuga late at night because of an allergic reaction. He is simply a hero of many, and I'm extremely excited for him to be on this episode. Introducing Dr. Kanuga.
Thank you, and good morning.
Thank you for being on this podcast. So we know each other because, as I previously mentioned, my sister, her allergic reactions, and he's mainly my sister's food and environmental allergist. Dr. Kanuga actually cured my sister's allergies to pollen and her environmental allergies, basically, by making her take shots every week, right? Twice a week, I think it was.
Twice a week, and then maintenance is once a month.
Yeah, so for a very long time, I remember. So can you explain to people who you are and what you do exactly?
Yeah, my name is Dr. Jayesh Kanuga. I'm the practicing allergist for the last 30 years in Edison, New Jersey. Basically, my background is I was a pediatrician before I became allergist. And then, I went to the allergy fellowship and became allergist. So I'm a pediatric allergist for the last 30 years.
Nice. So I remember you've been in helping my sister for a very long time.
Yes, I remember that.
Yes, and a few, you know, ups and downs and everything, but you've always got us through it. So I'm just going to share a little story about how you helped us and kind of give the audience a little preface on like who you are. So I remember my father calling you in a taxi in Italy, and it was raining cats and dogs and pouring, and it was crazy. We were all panicking, we were driving to the Italian hospital, and because Sonia ate the gelato, coffee gelato, right, that had nuts in it, surprisingly, or it was cross contamination or something happened there, and you were on the phone with my dad, and I was like, how is this man so calm during this whole thing? And mind you, this was like in a different time zone too, so it was like, you know, you were probably sleeping at that time. I don't know what it was, but you basically got us through it, and it was like little to no service, and you're so calm, and it was like I was freaking out because like Sonia's throat was closing up and it was like a different country and there was little to no service. It was crazy. So how do you as an allergist get worried, or like how do you maintain calm throughout this whole thing and the whole allergy?
Well, food allergy is very common, and particularly in children. I'm being a pediatric allergist. I come across a lot of, patients, particularly the pediatric age group, they have a food allergy. And basically, we just, educate them. The education for the food allergy is most important part, because if you don't understand what the food allergy is and how to manage it and all, then, chances are that something fatal can happen. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, last 30 years of our practice, not a single patient died from the food allergy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason we are calm, because being allergists, we see very frequently the allergic reaction, which is called anaphylactic reaction. Mm-hmm. That can be fatal or that can be severe. Mm-hmm. And we come across so many times. So we handle that very well, and in the sense with a calm mind. Because if I get panicky, what happens to the parents?
Exactly.
So you cannot afford to be panicked.
Yeah. So can you explain what's an anaphylactic reaction exactly?
Basically, it's an allergic reaction, and it can be mild, moderate, or severe. And in severe cases, it can turn into the fatal anaphylactic reaction. A food allergy is very, very common in pediatric age group, less common in adult. Okay. And particularly, there are like, eight foods which are the most common, pediatric age group develop the allergy too. Mm-hmm. And out of that, the peanut and tree nuts are the most common, and also they can be more fatal. Mm-hmm. If you read, the Google, more than 100 patients die from peanut allergy every single year. And most of the patients, or almost all patients who die, it's not that they don't know they are not allergic to. They know they are allergic to peanut, and because of the accidental exposure, they develop the severe reaction, and parents do not handle or do not recognize, or some reason, it can be fatal and patient can die. Okay. Yeah. In your sister's case, your parents also know that what she is allergic to. Okay. And still, at least, three times I remember, that she accidentally she got exposed to, and she developed almost I would say moderate to severe anaphylactic reaction, and she came out and things like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, the food allergy education is very, very important for the parents, okay? And we can talk about, what kind of symptoms, a patient has it, what is a food allergy, what they can do and all. And ask me questions, and I'll be more than happy to share all my knowledge.
Yeah, so basically, is it the patient who has nuts? They're more likely to, die from the allergy because they're more exposed to it, because nuts is a different kind of, area and...
Not necessarily, okay? Mm-hmm. If you see, the food allergy is very, very common in pediatric age group. I would say, it's about 15 to 20% of the children do develop, okay? Incidence can be much higher, but many times, in the pediatric age group, parents do not know until something happens, and then they bring patients to the allergies office. So in other words, it is underdiagnosed, undertreated, the food allergy. And like I said, the nut allergy is the most common, including the peanut. Yeah. Okay. There are other, allergies common, food allergy, cow's milk allergy, wheat allergy, egg allergy, shellfish allergy, and so on. Okay. Yeah. But again, Ria, the most common thing, the most important thing is that more you know about your child's allergy and how to manage it and stay calm during the reaction, you come out ahead of it.
Yeah, that's good advice, yeah. So is the EpiPen the only solution? I remember you gave for three reactions my sister had. You kind of said they gave her Benadryl or something beforehand. Is EpiPen only?
No, the thing is that, many patients, or at least many parents, unless they get the advice from the allergist. One thing I'll tell you, if you're allergic to peanut or the nut allergy or the seafood allergy, okay, and if you're highly allergic to, it can be mild, moderate, or severe. If you're severely allergic to, okay, and we can get into that discussion in a minute. If you're severe allergic to, and if you get accidentally exposed to that particular antigen, like a peanut, okay, then you can develop the allergic reaction. It can start, it can happen within few seconds, it can go on for a few minutes, and allergic reaction can happen within first 2 hours most of the time after exposure. It can be in few seconds to a few minutes to an hour or two, or it can happen in 24 hours too. So coming back to, if you have a severe food allergy, then there is a release of histamine in the system, okay? If you give the Benadryl, it's one of the treatment, but it takes 30 minutes for Benadryl to get the peak effect in the blood. Okay, the most important thing is that if your child is highly allergic to and develop the two system involvement, like a skin rashes or vomiting or coughing and breathless and all, it's a severe reaction. You have to give epinephrine as soon as possible. Because once there is a release of histamine, there is a massive release of histamine in the system, you have much higher chances that you will not recover from that. unless you give the epinephrine or EpiPen
yeah.
much earlier. The longer you wait, worse the prognosis is.
Yeah.
And I can share one very, very, like, I mean, you can Google it. I mean, incidents happen in San Francisco, okay? What happened, the father was a urologist, the daughter, teenager daughter, they went on picnic. Mm-hmm. During the picnic, I mean, she got exposed, so she must have ate some cookies. She was allergic to nuts, and she developed a reaction. Initially, it was mild reaction. Father, being a physician, urologist, he gave them an injection. But first injection, she didn't respond. They gave the second one and third one. Didn't respond. Guess what? She died.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. And you Google it, San Francisco and this incident. Yeah. I mean, it's in there. Okay. So what I'm trying to say, the earlier you give epinephrine or EpiPen, better it is.
Yeah.
Let's say some people overreact and give EpiPen. Okay. You don't need it. It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But it saves life.
Yeah.
So epinephrine yeah. is the first treatment. Okay. Yeah. Unless, I mean, you have a mild allergy, you just develop a little bit rash here and there, then you can just wait and watch and give Benadryl. That's a different thing.
Yeah. So you have to, like, make sure you know what your symptoms are. Just give the EpiPen because it's not going to hurt yeah. you. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to carry a lot of age. I mean, our parents, they forget to carry EpiPen. Okay,
yeah.
You have to carry EpiPen with you. Okay, no matter, it should be with the child rather than just with the parents.
Exactly.
Okay, I can give you another example. I mean,
yeah.
I have so many examples.
Yeah, of course,
one of my patients went to the New York City.
Yeah,
the child had an allergy. She forgot her EpiPen. She had EpiPen, but she forgot EpiPen in the car. And she was like about 3-4 blocks away.
Yeah.
She got exposed to, while eating, she developed the reaction. Guess what? I mean, she didn't have epinephrine with her, even though it was in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you better just run, get epinephrine, and then give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it, and fortunately, child survived.
Gosh.
I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah.
Many times parents forget, you have to carry EpiPen with the child, no matter where the child is, either it's with you, or at school, or anywhere.
But even if it's in the car, I mean, if she was only a few blocks away, she has to have it at all times, like with her, even at the restaurant or wherever she was.
No, they didn't have it. So
they
had to
run. It in the restaurant. They had it in the car.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she had to run to the car and get it. And fortunately, she got it and she survived.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah. So does the Benadryl minimize the symptoms?
Okay. So first you give the Benadryl.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it works fine. But
yeah.
you don't give the Benadryl and wait for the reaction to get better.
Okay.
That's the key thing parents has to understand.
Mm.
The EpiPen is the primary drug for anaphylactic reaction.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me what the parents should be doing, but they don't do. Like, is it allergy shots? Like, I know, like, give the EpiPen and make sure you have it all times. But, you know, kind of taking back from the EpiPen, what do you think that parents should do that they're not doing? And
okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, parents should consult the allergist and get the proper diagnosis done. Okay. If you ask, in a general population, every other patient or every third patient thinks that they have allergy. That doesn't mean that they have allergies. Okay. So in other words, the proper diagnosis is most important in children. Just because child develop the rashes or sometimes stomach upset and all, that doesn't mean the child has allergies.
Mm-hmm.
So allergy testing should be done.
Yeah.
And then if the allergy testing comes out positive and it correlates with the history,
yeah.
then the chances are the child has allergic reaction. I mean, the child is allergic to that particular food. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's very important to first the diagnosis. And then once the diagnosis happens, then, I mean, you have to educate the parents what it means, what kind of reaction can happen,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then just go from there.
Yeah. So even in the allergy testing, like the diagnosis, I remember I took the allergy testing and they do the pins and needles in your back, I think that is.
Right.
And it, like, itches you and everything. But for me, it said I had many things that I was positive for, like the allergies. Like, for example, like I was allergic to almonds and things and nuts and everything. I am allergic to peanuts, but almonds, I eat almonds in my cereal and I'm fine. But the allergy test, it says that I'm positive, I'm allergic to it. And like even like foods that I eat, Indian food I eat, like maybe dal or something, like it's saying that I'm allergic to it, but I have it all the time. I don't know. What's the reason?
So let's talk about allergy can be diagnosed by skin testing and the blood testing. Okay. And in about 20% of the patients, you can have a false positive.
Oh.
In other words, every single test which came out positive, that doesn't mean you are allergic to that food. Okay, that's why you have to correlate very well with, I mean, the history. Okay, in your case, the almond test came out positive, but if I ask you that do you get exposed to almond, you said yes, I eat, I mean, every day or every other day with a cereal and all. And if you don't have any reaction, that's it. Like a false positive reaction.
Okay.
So allergists can figure it out, okay? Mm-hmm. And there is a new test, okay? It's not something new, but it's like last few years it's available. So there are certain nuts, including the peanut. Mm-hmm. If the test comes out positive, we also do the component test. Component test meaning, suppose, I mean, as for example, peanut has 23 different protein, and you can be allergic to any one of them. Okay, that brings the test positive. So component test, what it does, it breaks down the different protein and find out which protein you are allergic to. So if you are allergic to protein number 1, 2, and 3, then you have 99% chances that you are truly allergic to the peanut. Okay, if number 8 is positive, that means that brings the peanut allergy test positive, but it is because cross-reactivity with the pollens, tree pollens, okay? Yeah. So that's why the test comes out positive, okay? Yeah. So in other words, we can do the component test. I think, I mean, I have done on your sister also.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, for the egg challenge or something.
Yeah, the egg challenge, I think it is. Yeah. And actually, you're out of eggs.
Right. So yeah. we do the component test, and then if it is negative, or at least, I mean, we figure it out, we do the oral challenge. And if uh-huh. oral challenge is negative, that means you're not allergic to it. Uh-huh. So this is a process. I mean, it's very, very important to have the proper diagnosis done.
Yeah, definitely. So I've always actually wondered, like, how do you just grow out of a food? Like Sonia, she grew out of eggs. Like, how did it just kind of, you just grow out of it? So you're not allergic to that certain, I don't know.
So most of the childhood allergies, I mean, you outgrow it by the time you are in a teenage area, okay, mm-hmm. or group. Only thing is that peanut and tree nuts and seafood allergy are the one 80% of time is a lifelong allergy, okay? Only 20% of the patients with peanut allergy or nut allergy, they outgrow it, but 80% of them do not. The rest of the allergy, what we talk about is milk allergy, wheat allergy, egg allergy, and so on, soybean allergy, you outgrow that. Mm-hmm. You can outgrow mm-hmm. most of the time. I would say 70, 80% of time, 90% of time.
Yeah. Okay, I see. So you seem to have a lot of knowledge on all these things, but what got you here? What was your you can't be doing all this without some motivation. Like for me, for example, like being in a, like I play basketball, right? And being in a basketball game, it's not the sake of like time passing, you know, it's like I had motivation, you know, the motivation was for me winning, you know, the feeling of winning a game simply, right? And it's like one of the best feelings because you put all that hard work and effort into it, like you do, like in allergies and everything. And it's that like cherry on top or those like rainbow sprinkles at the end for like that win, you know? So what is your motivation simply? Like, what is your motivation for doing what you're doing?
Basically, what I told you that I was a pediatrician, mm-hmm. I was in pediatric practice for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my motivation was my mom. Okay, because she died of, I mean, asthma or asthma at the age of 57. And that's the time I got into shock and I said, you know what, I need to do something where I can help the patients with the asthma related. And that's why I quit the pediatrics, went back to the fellowship for 2 years, and then came back and started allergy practice.
Wow.
And your dad also was very helpful to get me the grant to start the allergy fellowship program in India, because I wanted to just help any patients with any respiratory problem or asthma and allergy So that's what, I mean, my motivation is.
Oh my God, that's an amazing story. Wow. People love to hear some stories. So can you share a story about anything, like anything at all about food allergies that you could think of on the top of your head, just anything that about regarding food allergies?
Yeah. So, I mean, like a couple of stories I already, shared with you. Okay. I'll share one more story, okay, which happened in Short Hill, New Jersey. It happened a few years ago. Okay. Yeah. Again, you can Google that. She was not my patient. Okay. But she was like, I think, a teenager girl. Mm-hmm. She was allergic to, a peanut and other nuts. She went to the Chinese restaurant to pick up the food. Mm-hmm. And she did, tell the guy that I'm allergic to peanut and the nuts, so make sure you don't put it. Mm-hmm. You know how the restaurant people, they don't understand. So there was a contamination. And she picked up the food, came home, she ate it, and then all of a sudden she developed, some symptoms, okay? She mm-hmm. was developing breathing issues and all. So mm-hmm. she thought that maybe, I'm having anxiety reaction. So she went for jogging, okay? And then while jogging, she collapsed and she died. Okay? So what I'm saying that she knew, she informed the person at the restaurant, and still this mishap happened. Yeah. So this kind of story, there are so many stories, like this. Like, that's why I told you, to start with, that patients who die, they are the one who know that they have allergy, but accidental exposure,
yeah,
they lose the life.
Yeah, there's a pattern. There's just a pattern in all of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there are so many examples, just like your sisters, that patients, call us that, look, we have a reaction, and we guide them what to do with that.
Yeah, wow, that's a great story. But it's unfortunate that they know that they have it, and then they don't even take the EpiPen. Like, what's that hesitation? Are they scared of, are they scared of taking it? Like,
no, there are various factors. Most of the time, it's just daily process. Think about it. Parents, have a lot of things on their plate, and they go out, but they forget the EpiPen at home. That can happen.
Yeah.
And it's Murphy's Law. When you don't have it, that's the time something happens. It's Murphy's Law.
But I'm sure they heard these kind of stories, and they still don't take the EpiPen right away.
They are here, but I can see we just sometimes forget, ignore, whatever.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that they don't take it. Yeah.
It happens.
I know we talked about this before, but so you said that egg allergies people grow out of. And but they don't grow out of nut allergies, right? Like most people don't grow out of nut allergies.
Yeah, 80% of the time they don't.
Yeah, okay. So I know you shared so many tips, but do you have one other last tip that you could share for kids or parents?
Particularly, I can say something about the peanut allergy, because peanut allergy is very common. And you know that any school you visit, you will see that in any class, probably 1/3 of the class would have some form of allergy, including the peanut allergy. So peanut allergy is very common. So recently, there are a couple of, not the drugs, the food is approved, how to desensitize the peanut allergy, okay? Mm-hmm. And we are doing it in our office also. And plus, a lot of studies have been done in reference to peanut allergy. Like I said, it's very, very common, okay, in the pediatric age group. And now the views have changed that before, many years ago, we thought that we should not, expose the children for the peanut for after first year or second year, we can expose.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the view has changed, the studies have been done, that if you expose the peanut in the first year, particularly during 4 months to 6 months of age, then they develop the immunity and you don't develop the peanut allergy. Okay. So that's another thing, that if anybody is pregnant and they're going to have a baby, make sure that at the age of between age 4 months and 6 months, they can introduce the peanut. And there is a peanut powder available. They can Google it. They can call allergist office and we can help them out too.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. I've read that somewhere, that you have to give it to them like at early age. And when you do, they just immune to it. I guess they just get, isn't that what immunotherapy is? Like, that's what people are trying to figure out, like trying to that's even for vaccines. Like, I know, like, coronavirus or something, they're trying to, like, they take that dead coronavirus, I guess, and then they just put it in. It has to do with something like that for allergy.
Allergy shots are only for the environmental allergy and pollen allergy, dust mite allergy, not. Mm. As far as food allergy is concerned, there is no immunotherapy or allergy shots for that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are a lot of research going on. Like I said, there are two companies, I mean, they have developed the protocol that is called oral desensitization, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what we started doing in the office also. So if somebody is allergic to peanut, those who have the mild to moderate, then we can look into, we can take the proper clinical history and then decide whether they can be put on the oral desensitization or not. So yes, I mean, there is oral desensitization that is available, particularly for the peanut only at this day. Yeah. Down the road, for other food, it will happen too.
Oh, interesting, interesting. So I know in the beginning, we kind of talked about how to maintain calm and everything. But the whole podcast, less panic, more peace. Going back to the theme, like, how do you maintain peaceful throughout this whole thing? I know we've kind of talked about this, but how do you go from less panic to more peace for parents? Not only you as an allergist, but for parents. Like, it gets so crazy because it's like your throat closing up and you have hives all over your back. Like, parents automatically just go from panic. Like, how do you as an allergist see how doctors can just go from less panic and more peace when helping children who suffer from food allergies?
Yeah. So that what we talked earlier, that as far as being a physician, not only physician, being allergist, I mean, we get exposed to so many patients. So for us, it's become a routine. So we don't get panicky. But for the parents, the most important thing is to develop the knowledge about the food allergy or peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. They have to understand. They have to discuss with, I mean, their physician and then develop the calm. They can also do the drill every month, how to use the EpiPen in case of emergency. Mm-hmm. There is, I mean, demo available, I mean, with EpiPen. I mean, every EpiPen prescription has a demo also in there. Mm-hmm. So they can just use it. If the child is old enough, they can also teach child too, okay? Yes. So if they do the, like, I mean, drill every month or every quarter, then they develop the calmness. Mm-hmm. The key thing is that if you are, like, I mean, calm, you can do a better job, okay? And the most of the time, the panic happens because your child is suffering or has, I mean, throat closing, and you don't know how to use the EpiPen.
Yeah.
Because most of the patients, I mean, either they are ignoring or they just don't develop the practice. So practice is very important.
Exactly.
So once you have the proper practice, you know exactly that, okay, you have a reaction, like your dad knows very well, go here you go, and the EpiPen, you give it, and then watch the child, and then just consult your physician.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a fire drill, you know, we learn in school.
Yeah,
like, lockdown drill, we know exactly procedure, like protocol, yeah. Exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Everything. You line up outside, and it's like that. So
yeah,
it's exactly like a fire drill, exactly. So you just gotta practice and remain calm at all times, basically.
Right.
Yeah. So you have a lot of knowledge on this. I'm super excited that you were on my podcast. Thank you for tuning in to Less Panic and More Peace. I hope Dr. Kanuga and I helped you today. Thank you, Dr. Kanuga, for being on this special guest on this episode. You're super insightful and super interesting to talk to today. So do you have any last words before we end today and wrap up?
Well, I mean, allergies, I mean, like, I mean, my profession, if anyone from after listening to your podcast, if they have any question, I'll be more than happy to answer that. Okay. They can, I mean, send you the email. You can forward it to me and I can help you out. I mean, resolving also. They can call our office also if they want to, if they are in the area, and we'll be more than happy to help them.
So nice of you. Thank you so much. And I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Peace out.
Yes. And stay calm.